So thanks again, another episode of Addiction and Redemption, 30-something, rocking and rolling, recovering from the flu. I think I told you in the last episode I've been surfing, got some big waves coming this week, biggest all winter, that'll be nice. And we left off sort of with these people in my life who were starting to say different things. They were starting to say things that I didn't like. And there's a saying in recovery that if a drug addict who's actively using likes what you say, you're saying the wrong thing, or something to those to that effect. And so this is sort of what's happening. This is what's starting to happen. There was also another moment where I was like butt wasted early in the morning, I think off sake, like big bottles of sake that they sold at the liquor store. And I was hammered. It was like 11 a.m. And I remember my dad, like, just kind of out of nowhere, like, coming into my bedroom and just pinning me down to my bed. My dad is never aggressive or forceful. Pinning me down to my bed, and he just said to me, "You have no idea how tough you are." He said, "You're one of the toughest kids I ever met." He said, "You should have seen yourself as a kid. You were one of the toughest little kids I've ever met." He goes, "You have no idea how tough you are. You are so tough." I'd never really thought of myself as tough before. And I thought about it. I'm like, man, yeah, I've been through some shit. Even to get to where I am now, you got to be pretty goddamn tough. So there was that too. And let's just say that winter transitioned into spring. And it was an early spring that year. It was like a nice early warm spring. And there are some things I remember. I remember my birthday. And I had somehow really taken to this taco joint in Glen Ellen that's right there on Roosevelt Road, kind of on the corner of Main Street and Roosevelt. I can't remember what it's called. But I thought they were good tacos. If I went and ate one now, I wouldn't be able to tell you if they were good. But I had taken to this taco place for some reason. And I remember my mother took me there for tacos on my birthday. And for whatever reason that day, I remember that she had gotten me a Starbucks card for like $20. She wouldn't give me money anymore. But I took the Starbucks card and I hustled it. I took the train down to Oak Park and I like sold it for like $18. And I had like three or four other dollars. And so I was able to get two bags of dope on my birthday. And I got really high. It was like really good that day. And we were eating tacos. My mom took me out for tacos. My mom had taken me out for tacos, as I've mentioned. And she was just like crying. And I was in such a good mood. I was like, "Why are you crying?" You know, and dope, it's weird because after a while, you're just so insane from it. Like, in the early stages of it, you can hide that you're doing it, and people don't really pick up on it. People subtly pick up on it. Like, I could pick up on the fact that it was funny, the Trader Joe's checkout person recently, I could just tell was flying on opiates. Like, you're just in this particularly cheery mood and this particularly kind of chatty mood. Just a little bit out of character, but not much. And if you look at their eyes, their eyeballs will be pinned. They'll be really small, the pupils. But as the disease progresses, you can just really see that there's a night and day difference between the way a person acts when they're not high and when they are high. You know, like when I was high, I'd go get like a Frappuccino from Starbucks and I'd be like, "Oh, this Frappuccino is amazing." And I'd be enjoying the Frappuccino. And I could tell that like my parents would be like, "Oh, he must be high. He's drinking a Frappuccino," you know. But so there I am eating tacos. I couldn't eat tacos unless I'm high. Like if I'm high, I could eat all day long. But if you're not high, you're just going to vomit. And she was crying. And I remember thinking like, "Why are you crying?" I remember asking maybe why you were crying now. Who knows what she was thinking and or feeling, you know? And so looking back, it's like, how do you make up for that? I've made my official amends at this point, but how do you make up for that? And I think for my birthday, we went and got I got myself a Nintendo DS. I think that's what I did. I think that's what I wanted my birthday present to be. I was good and high when I got it, you know? So we went to Walmart, and I got a Nintendo, and I went home, and I started playing it. That Nintendo got me by for a while. That little DS got me by for a while, and I think I referenced it maybe like two episodes before that I was selling, that I sold it, I pawned it. So who knows what the time frame is, but let's just say it's spring now, and I got this for my birthday, and who cares when I pawned it. But I would play video games. I got this really fun shooting game from my friend Max. I can't remember what it was called. I'd love to get my hands on it again. It was such an awesome game. But so we've got, like, it's my birthday. I got a present, and I'm going to pawn the present eventually, probably sooner than later. But for a while, the present afforded me. I also had an iPod that I would listen to music on when I was going down to the city. And then there were these two other really nice junkies I would always see on the train. They were a couple. One's name was Jessica, and I think the other name was Matt. And I always see them, and I wonder what happened to them. There was this other guy, Bill. Bill, I would see him down there, and he was just like homeless and disgusting. And he's just this total hustler. I think he stole from me once or twice. There was this other day when I was down there, I was on the platform, and I looked up, and there's this guy, Dan, this red-haired guy named Dan. Some of you might know who I'm talking about. And he's just on the platform, and I just look at him and instantly recognize him, and he instantly recognizes me. And I remember it was warm, and he had been doing this for a lot longer than me, and he just had fundamentally more street smarts than I did, just in general. Like, he just grew up different than I did. Like, I think he was like a latchkey kid, and who knows what happened in his home. Got no clue there. It wasn't like my home. And so I kind of latched onto him, and he went and he got me some better shit. I think he actually stole some of my shit and helped me look for it. But then he bought me some at the same time, so it was like, just think his plan backfired or whatever. But I would see him down there, like from time to time, and so I've got these like junkie friends now. And junkies aren't friends. They're just not. They're just selfish. They just care about themselves. Although it was a junkie's free bag that landed me in Cook County Jail several months back. So this is like the spring. It's like different when the winter's over, because you know what it's like in Chicago when it thaws. And it gets warm, and especially when it's an early spring, it just puts everybody in a good mood. And I'm still working at the restaurant somehow, right? I'm still, like, managing to hold that job down and getting drunk as soon as I got there or whatever. And I'm still, like, just completely fucked. If anything, I'm more fucked than I ever was. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. At one point, I, like, managed to, like, they're like this alcoholic. They were like this kind of alcoholic nomads that wandered the western suburbs. One of them's name was Brian Blue Cloud, and they were like a crew. This other guy was named Jimmy, and they were like a crew. And there was this girl who was really cute. I can't remember her name. She had like a chip too. She was like a total alcoholic too. But her and I, like, got this thing, like, had this chemistry. I somehow managed to, like, pick up a pretty hot girl in the midst of all this. How, I have no clue. But, you know, I remember one night, like, took her back to my grandmother's house. We, like, went and hung out there one night and got drunk. And she wouldn't completely put out. And I was kind of pissed because I just took her for a total slut and she wasn't one. I guess I would have had to hang out with her another night to get the goods. But, no, so I've got these, like, total fuckhead friends, you know, these would-be sort of friends also starting to appear. And I'm also working at the flower shop next door to Mika's restaurant, which was run by this, like, crazy, like, Pakistani lady or something, this, like, Muslim lady. She was really good with flowers. I remember working there from, like, Valentine's Day on and, like, through the spring dance. I remember it was, like, prom. I was working there and putting together these little boutonnieres, and she said I was a really good worker. She was like, I'm so happy I have you, Dave. I'm so happy that you work here. And so it's interesting because there was still this, like, work ethic and this, like, respect for other people that was sort of shining through, I guess, and she would like pay me in cash, and I think I may have took $40 from her. I need to pay her back. I've tried to make amends to her several times. I've knocked on her door and she's never been there, and I think she still runs it. But she was just a sweet woman. She was just the sweetest woman. You know? Some people think Muslims are bad. This one sure as hell wasn't. And so there's just like spring is sprung and it's thawing out. And just the mood is changing. And I'm still up to what I'm up to. I'm still up to no good. And I'm hanging out with my buddy Ray a little bit. And I might have even been working for him a little. I can't recall. I think I was beyond working for him at this point. But I'm still going down there. You know, I'm still going down to the city every day. And, you know, I'm 32 at this point. I've just turned 32. And where's this going? So, thanks for listening again. I'm Dave Keenis. This is Addiction and Redemption, and we'll pick up again real soon. Bye-bye.